Well, morning, folks. Welcome to worship if you're in the auditorium and if you're up in the gallery here at Church in the Marketplace. G'day to you if you're joining us online. It's great to be sharing Christmas with you and looking into God's Word together. So happy Christmas, however you are tuned in. It's good to be with you today. You know how some expressions come and go in our language? And sometimes I have to admit I can't work them all out. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. You don't have to make a big deal about that. For me, the word sick, for example, had a very particular meaning. Like race for the bathroom with one of your kids under an arm or be ready for some serious cleaning up. Never, never did I imagine some kid today would say something was sick and that meant totally awesome. It's probably just the grandfather in me coming out. When I was a kid, early on in high school, one of the expressions going around was get real. If someone was getting a bit above themselves, get real. If someone was fluffing on about something they had no idea about, get real. If you didn't want anything to do with what somebody was suggesting, get real. I showed that little clip a moment ago because, well, this morning we want to talk about how we get real about Christmas. We're going to talk for a little bit about how we can enjoy the real Christmas. I know that there are lots of things that we enjoy at this time of the year. There are presents that we enjoy, most of those presents anyway. And we enjoy our family gatherings, mostly. The kids, the grandkids, the in-laws. We enjoy the decorations, we enjoy the food. But deep down we know that those things are just a recognition. They're just a glimpse of the real thing, the real Christmas. And sometimes we tell ourselves when all the stuff of Christmas, the hype, the commercial stuff, when all that is overwhelming us, we tell ourselves that we need to get real about Christmas. So what's the real Christmas? What is it that we have to get real about? It starts in this verse from the Bible. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Back there is the real Christmas, the original Christmas, the start of all the Christmas stuff. And the closer that I can get to that, and all that means, the more real it is in my life. The more real help, the more real encouragement, the more real strength I get for my daily life. And I'd love for Christmas and all it means to be real in your life too. That's what we're going to spend just a few minutes thinking about today, so I'm glad you're here. There's a heap of things that you could be doing today and you chose to be here. So my prayer is for you and for me both, is that because of that choice to be here, God will give you real strength and real hope and real encouragement from being here today. So let's try and just get a little bit closer to kind of get on our tiptoes and look at this baby in a manger and see what it can mean for my life and what it can mean for your life. As we prepare to do that, let's pray. Oh, Lord God, it is good to be here on Christmas Day. It's good to celebrate together. It's good to sing some carols, to lift our voices up, to have some guests in the house, to just be able to give somebody a hug and say, Happy Christmas, however it is that we come to this day. But Lord, we pray that you would help us just to be real about Christmas, to know that behind all the stuff of Christmas, there lies you coming to us in the person of Jesus and all that story that begins to unfold in Bethlehem. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us be real as we come to that story this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus was born, he was given the name Jesus, obviously, Yeshua. In the Bible's account, the angel said, "You shall name him Jesus." Of course, names are chosen not just so you can say, Peter, and I'll stick my head up to see what you want. Names are also chosen because they have a meaning, and Jesus' name means salvation. It means God wants to rescue us from the worst of life and prepare us for the best of life. Now, if we really want to understand all that Jesus wants to do in our lives, we've got to understand that he got some other names. He got them 700 years before he was born, a guy named Isaiah prophesied that Jesus was going to be born. He said, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." I know you've got things to get to this morning and you don't want to be going on too long, so I'm going to focus on just the two names in the middle. We could look at all of them, but we're just going to touch on Mighty God, Eternal Father. Because in just those two names, there are some things we can see that can make Christmas more real for us. And by making it more real, there could be more joy for you this Christmas and for me, as we see what it means for Jesus to be Mighty God and Eternal Father. These are four things that Jesus wants to offer every one of us this Christmas. He is Mighty God. In other words, when we look at that manger, even though we see a child, there is something about God's power there. The word mighty means strength in battle. It means prevailing over the toughest of circumstances. That's the kind of power God wants to give into our lives. But let's face it, mostly we don't think of power when we think of a baby in a manger. When we think of power, we think of other things. We think of military power. That's one kind of power. We think of fuel power, political power, weightlifting power, electrical power. There's lots of things that we think of as powerful. Powerful in that they can move something from here to there. Powerful in the sense that they can make a difference. But the greatest power that's ever come into this world is in that manger. A new kind of strength was born into the world at Christmas. A new strength for our lives. A new strength to win in the toughest of battles. So here's a question for you. What's the toughest battle that you are facing now? Is it some relationship that's not going like you want it to? God says, I want to give my power to your life to make a difference at that point in your life. Is it in some circumstance that's not turning out like you want it to turn out? Is it in some temptation that keeps getting the best of you and you keep wanting to say no, but you keep saying yes? Is it in some great opportunity and you're not sure you're up to the opportunity? Where's the greatest battle you are facing right now? Right there at that point, God says, I want to make my power available to you. The manger isn't some sentimental story. It's all about God's power in our lives. What kind of power are we talking about? Ephesians 3:20 says, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. That's the kind of power we're talking about. Much, much more kind of power. God's kind of power in our lives. God wants to do much, much more than you could ever dream or imagine. God wants to do what's best in our lives. That means sometimes he wants to do much, much more than even my best idea because he loves me. God's power can be released in our lives at the very point where we feel weakest. That's what he wants to do. God's power is available. How do I connect to that power? How do I get charged up with God's power? Because when it comes to God's power in my life, I can't hold the charge. I've got to stay connected to him all the time. I can't come to church once a week and think, I'll get charged up. It'll get me through the week. It can help me, but it's not enough. We can't read the Bible once a day and pray a little bit and think, okay, I did the right thing this morning. Now I'll stay charged up through the day. I've actually got to stay connected with God all the time. How do I do that? Just like we stay connected in any relationship. Be aware that he's there. Talk with him through the day. Doesn't have to be a long conversation. God, help me with this. God, I need your wisdom here. God, I'm not sure what to do here. God, that's something that just happened. Thank you for that. Saying thanks for blessings is a great way to stay connected with God through the day. Just thanking God for the little things that happen sometimes. When we stay connected throughout the day, then we experience that kind of more than power we're talking about here, God's great power. And when it comes to God's power, there are many ways we experience it. But one of the ways is a bit surprising. Colossians 1:11 says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. Who are the patient people here? Nobody? Don't believe it. We think sometimes that our greatest experience of God's power is when we do some great things and everybody sees it and they applaud. I reckon our greatest experience of God's power is when we feel like no one sees and no one notices, and we need the strength to make it through and not give up, and God gives us that strength. That's the greatest experience of God's power. The greatest experience of God's power is just to be patient. I don't know about you, but it's easy to be impatient. When God gives me the strength and power to be patient in a tough circumstance, that's incredible power. God wants to give you power and strength this Christmas. Now, it wouldn't do us any good just to talk about it and say it's something that happened 2,000 years ago unless we thought about what's going to happen in our lives today. So in that little insert in your newsletter, there's a bit of a space where you can write if you want to, where you could use some strength this Christmas. This Christmas, I need strength to do what? Might be about a relationship, might be a circumstance, might be a conversation, might be something you're feeling about yourself. I need strength. This Christmas, I need strength. Write something there, because He's the mighty God. He wants to give us power. I not only need to see that there's power in the manger, I need to see that there is glory in the manger. The glory is God has come to earth. Every year at our house, we set up a little manger scene. We get the grandkids and we take this little manger scene out of the box, and we sort out the shepherds from the wise man and the sheep from the donkey and the camels, and we find Jesus and we put Him in the manger, and after Christmas, they all go back in a box. But the truth is, we can't put God in a box. The glory of God is that He will break out of every box that you and I try to put Him in. God, could you just stay in this box here, and I'm going to go over here and do my thing, and you stay in that little box I've built for you doing your thing. Could you do that? And God says, no. The glory of God came into the world at Christmas. That's what's in the manger. God says, I'm going to bust out of every box you ever make, because I want you to see what I can really do in your life. More than you could ever imagine, more than you could dream. That's God's glory. The world is always seeing God's glory. You can see it back in the Old Testament. If you read a book like the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, they saw God's glory. They saw the Red Sea being parted, and they didn't have to go to the movies to see that. They saw a pillar of fire going before them to lead the way. That's why the Bible says in Exodus 15:11, who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? We read that sometimes today and we think, I'd like to see that. That'd be cool to see the Red Sea split, to see a pillar of fire, to actually experience and see the glory of God. But in other ways we can. The Bible tells us that in creation we can see the glory of God and who He is. We go out on a starlit night. We go up the mountains. We see the Milky Way. We see the thousands of stars. And there's something in all of us. It takes our breath away. It takes our breath away because it reminds us of the greatness of God. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. What happened in the Old Testament is wonderful. Seeing the stars is awesome. But what happened at Christmas? God come into the world. There's more glory of God in that manger than 1,000 Red Seas split and 1,000,000 stars in the sky. God came into the world at Christmas. But the way we're wired as human beings, it's easy for us to miss the glory of God. It's easy for us to get focused on the details and miss it. Happened in the Old Testament. They were having miracles happen around them all the time. Red Sea gets split, pillar of fire in front of them, and what are they doing? They're complaining. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough water. They missed it. You and I can easily miss it. Christmas comes around every year. We recognize that God came into the world every year, but we get focused on all the little things. So it's worth it to take just a few minutes this morning for you and for me both to focus on the fact that God came into the world at Christmas. The baby in a manger is God wrapped in human flesh, the creator, the sustainer, the ruler over everything and over everyone. Look at your thumbprint. Look at your thumbprint. He made that. He formed, He fashioned, He fingerprinted you. That's the God that came into the world at Christmas. Hebrews 1:3 says, God's Son shines out with God's glory, and all that God's Son is and does marks Him as God. Jesus is God. He came into this world, was born as a baby. Now the question to our scientific minds is how? How in the world do you fit God into a baby? Somebody's written this about the baby in the manger being God. He who is the creator became a creature. He who is eternal allowed himself to be bound by time. He whom the heavens can't contain was enclosed in a woman's womb. He who is clothed in majesty was born in a cattle trough. He who is the sovereign God became dependent on a human man and woman for his food and clothing. He who had spoken whole worlds and galaxies into existence had to depend upon baby cries to communicate. The God of the universe became a baby. Folks, that's the glory of God. Some people think it's narrow-minded to be a believer in Jesus, but you've got to be pretty open-minded to believe that God would come into this world, that God would care for us that much. Maybe for you, that's a challenging thought, that God himself was born at Christmas. If you're wondering about that, if you're wondering, could that really happen, I want to encourage you, that is worth checking out. The manger in Bethlehem, it's a whack in the side of the head to say God came into this world. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? It means that God is bigger. It means that God's perspective is bigger. God wants to do something even greater in your life. So you can write on your outline, this Christmas, I need a bigger perspective on what? What problem? What reality? What thing about yourself or someone else? What situation in our world today? I need a bigger perspective on what? You might be facing a problem right now. You're looking at it and you're saying, honestly, the problem is bigger than I am. And it may be, but it is not bigger than God. God is bigger than that problem. So when we recognize that, that's the reality of Christmas and what God wants to do. He's the mighty God. We see his power in the manger. We see his glory in the manger. We also see a third thing. He's the eternal Father. We see hope that's in the manger. When it comes to hope, just like power and glory, we have our ideas of what makes for hope. What are some of the things we hope for? The phone to ring? A lottery win? Money enough to do what I want? A cure for an illness? Stock market, career, politics? We've got all kinds of hopes. So here's the deal when it comes to hope. If we put our hope in something that goes up and down like the stock market, what's going to happen to our hope? It's going to go up and down. If we put our hope in something that's not going to last, what's going to happen to our hope? It's not going to last. If we put our hope in something that is eternal, what happens to our hope? It's eternal. Hope came into the world at Christmas. Jesus says, I want to give you my hope into your life. Christmas says that hope isn't just some sentimental wish. I hope it happens. I hope that happens. It says it can be a certainty in our lives. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, the yes to all God's promises is in Christ. You know what happened at Christmas? Jesus coming into the world, he said yes to all God's promises. There are over 7,000 of those in the Bible. And in Jesus it says, the answer to every one of them is yes. God promises rescue from our difficult situation, to bring us salvation. Jesus says yes to that promise. If you're looking at life and you say, I'm struggling with a relationship, I need strength to know what to do here, how to handle this, Jesus says, yes, I will give you strength. Or I need to make a decision over here in my career or my business and I need wisdom for that decision, God promises wisdom. And Jesus says yes to that promise. He's saying yes in your life. Folks, you might look at your life and think, I see lots of no's in my life. I see a lot of circumstances that aren't working out. I got a whole heap of problems. So how do we see hope when we have a problem? How do we keep hope when we have a problem? Here's the amazing thing. God can work hope into our lives even through our problems. Here's what God says about that. Romans 5 says, we also have joy with our troubles. How does that work, having joy with our troubles? Here's how. Because we know that these troubles produce patience. We just talked about that. And patience produces character. And character produces God says, here's how it works. Problem comes into your life. Now, I don't know about you, but when a problem comes into my life, the first thing I want to do is run away from it. That's what I want to do when a problem comes. But God says that instead of running away and trying to find some place in this world where there are no problems, no such place. Instead of running away, you'll stick it through and ask me for strength. I'll give you patience. And as I give you patience, I will develop and strengthen your character. That's an amazing thing. On the other side of that problem, God says, I'm going to give you greater hope. You recognize that you can't find hope in that problem anyway, but I've got someone I found hope in no matter what the problem is. That's what God does. Some of us look at that and go, I'm stuck on the first one, Peter, the patience one. When I've got problems, I don't feel patient. I feel impatient. So how am I ever going to get started on this? God has an answer for that too. He tells us where we find patience. Romans 15:4 says, Scriptures give us patience and encouragement so that we have hope. That's the value of God's truth in God's word. I'm naturally an impatient person, especially when circumstances aren't going my way. But God says, if you listen to my truth, either by reading it, by talking to somebody else about it, my truth will give you patience in a difficult situation and your character gets developed, and on the other side of that character is hope. That's the power of God's word. When I'm going through tough times, God wants to develop hope in your life. So how about you this Christmas? Where do you need to trust God? This Christmas, I need to trust God, because that's where hope comes from. Trusting God in difficult times. What situation do you need to trust God with? What person do you need to trust God with? What feeling do you need to trust God with? This Christmas, I need to trust God. For some of you, it's I need to trust that God is working through my everyday problems, that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. Doesn't make the problem good. It isn't good, it's bad, but it reminds us that God is good. He can take even the worst that life throws at us. He can work for good. In a group like this, I'm certain that there are some of you who are feeling pretty hopeless right now. Everything I'm saying is just a sting because you feel hopeless. You look at your circumstances and think, that's great for you, Peter, but it's not working for me, and you feel like there's no way out. Folks, don't let temporary circumstances steal eternal hope from you. He is mighty God. He's eternal Father. I want to see the power, the glory, the hope that's in the manger. Here's the last one, the fourth one I want to see. I want to see the love that's in the manger. His love for me. We've been using that word love, and I recognize that the word love might mean something different to each of us. We have different pictures culturally when we hear the word love. I'm all for romantic love. But God's love is the love on which a good romantic love is based. Every good love is based on God's great love. His love is sacrificial, self-giving love. He loves you just because He decided to love you. The love of the Father is there in the manger. I know that can be confusing. He's the Son, He's also the Father. That's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we could take 5 hours to explain it this morning, but we won't. Or just take my word for it, the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, loves you. That's the power of God's love that's in the manger. God loves you. Don't miss out this Christmas. The most familiar verse about that in the Bible, we could all say, John 3:16 probably. God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him may not be lost but have eternal life. That's God's love for you. When I get to know God through His Son, Jesus, that love is experienced in my life. God's not going to force Himself into your life or mine. He's done everything He needs to, wanted to do in His relationship with us to kind of open the door, open the gate to give us the gift. But I've got to go through the door. I have to go through the gate. I have to accept the gift. He doesn't force it on anyone. But once I accept that gift, it's an incredible love. Next verse tells us nothing in all creation, nothing, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Human love lets us down far too often. God's love will never let you down. But in order to enjoy this love from God, we have to accept it into our lives. It won't be forced into your life. In order to enjoy it, I've got to bring it into my daily life. There's a preacher called Tom Holliday. He tells about when he was watching a boat parade like we see on Sydney Harbour on New Year's Eve. Huge yachts going by, one of the biggest yachts in the parade. It's all lit up. There are 100 people on it, all drinking and yelling at everybody on the other boats and on the shore. A big party's going on. And then at the end of this huge yacht, there's a rope going down to a little rubber raft. And in this little rubber raft, there's a manger scene. There's Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. Isn't that a parable for life? Here we are on our boat having a party, and we've got Jesus back there in the dinghy. That's where we're putting Jesus, because we might need him someday. We've got him attached with ropes so we can pull him in if we really need him, get him to save the situation, and then back in the dinghy for Jesus. Folks, if we want to enjoy God's love in our life, we've got to get him out of the dinghy and onto our boat. When we get him on our boat, we're going to enjoy a kind of love that we've never experienced before. And by the way, the party that Jesus wants to throw on your boat is a lot better party than we're thinking of having. That party is the party where we drink a lot and we do silly things around people we don't even know, and we wake up in the morning feeling like a fool and with a bad headache. The party that Jesus throws on our boat is a party where we live a life of significance, where we know that we're loved, where we have people around us that we're living with as a family. It's the party where we know this is what I was born for. This is what I'm supposed to live for, not just now, but for eternity. Not only that, we don't wake up with a headache. It's a good party that Jesus wants to throw in our lives. But for that to happen, it can't be this, in case of emergency, I'll break the glass. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus, you stay behind the glass. Don't interfere with my life. If things go really bad, then I'll break the glass, bring you out long enough to save the situation, then back behind the glass, Jesus. The glory of God is greater than that, folks. He's not going to accept that kind of relationship. He wants so much more. There's this feeling sometimes that if I really let Jesus on my boat, he's going to ruin my life. Do you think God would humble himself to become a baby like that if he wanted to ruin your life? I know what it's like to not trust God with things in my life, to think that I know better. I do it all the time. But every time I do, I get a wake-up call and I realize God really does love me. And his love wants to make a real difference in my life. He wants to make a real difference in your life. So how is it going to make a difference in your life this Christmas? Write it down if you want to. This Christmas, where do you need God's love? I need God's love for what? And you might even write in some person there. It might be a person's name, somebody in your family. God, if I'm going to love that person, I'm going to need your strength. No doubt about it. I need God's love, maybe for somebody in your office, maybe it's even an enemy. God, I need your love for that enemy. How do you love an enemy? You begin by praying for them. That's how you begin to love them. God, I need your love for this person in this situation. Start there. It begins this love by expressing it to other people. But if I'm going to do that, I need God's love in my life. So before we close, let me make sure that we've got God's love in our life. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, I'd like to pray with you. Jesus, help us to see it. Thank you for this opportunity today to come together, to get on our tiptoes and look in the manger and see the reality of what it is that you want to do there and in our lives. Help us to see it this week. Help us to see the strength that you want to give us through your power. Help us to see the perspective, the different way of looking at things that you want to give us through your glory. Help us to see the hope that you want to give us as we trust in you. And God, help us to see it like we've never seen it before this Christmas. How deeply you love us. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.